From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
We are jam-packed on our program today. Later on, in really just a few minutes, I've got a major announcement. Many of you have been asking about this, and I can kind of tell you all about it here today. We'll do it coming up in a few minutes. Before that, though, and I guess let me also sort of tease ahead to one more thing here. Jeff Sintel in a few minutes here, too. Jamil Burrows, the 2020 defensive lineman, makes his college decision tomorrow. Jeff will preview that with us coming up later on in our program. So you've picked a great day to be with us here on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. But before we kind of do any of that, let me kind of go back to the big story from last Saturday, the injury to Zamir White. And really the fallout from the Zamir White injury kind of continues here. When Kirby Smart spoke with reporters on Wednesday, he said a couple of very interesting things. And I want to make sure that we spend some time talking about sort of both of these subjects here right now, because in different ways, I think it really sort of is going to make Georgia fans feel better here as we sort of turn the page from Zamir White in 2018 to what Georgia has left and what Georgia will be showcasing in the running back position starting next Saturday against Austin Peay. And how much fun does that feel to say that a week from today will be a day away from Georgia football? Really cool stuff when it comes to that. But let me start with this. Kirby Smart on Wednesday kind of told kind of a cool story, an interesting story. Now, you don't like the way all this comes together, but for Zamir White, who does tear his ACL during a practice last Saturday, you know, it's I mean, listen, we're all heartbroken because we wanted to see him play. You got to imagine for Zamir White, though, it's even more heartbreaking for himself personally than it is for any of us because, I mean, he was ready to sort of show what he was all about. He was ready to kind of burst onto the national scene here this season, and now it's not going to happen. And as Kirby described in terms of Zamir White's spirits, they are good. And in doing so, Kirby says that a lot of the former Georgia running backs who we all know and love, they all in their own way kind of reached out to Zamir White to let him know they were cheering for him and sort of offering advice maybe on the recovery. I thought this was a great little story here from Kirby Smart. And if you are a big fan of Dog Nation, you'll love the way that Dog Nation, including the great former Georgia players who make up Dog Nation, kind of rallied around Zamir White here. Listen to this great audio from Kirby Smart.
Zamir's great. I know he reached out and several players talked to him. Malcolm Mitchell's been around here. He talked to him about his issue. And then Nick reached out to him, talked to him. Todd reached out, talked to him. A lot of guys have talked to him. I think he's in great spirits. He still sits in on meetings, and it's been real positive. We've got a great family atmosphere. Those backs all care about him, and they've spent time with him. And he understands. That's the one thing about once you've done it once, you know what you're headed down, where before you have no idea the road you're headed down. And now he's done this once. So he knows he can top it and get after it.
So let me be sarcastic for like 9 seconds, then I'll get back to a more serious point. I think, and I know our buddy Connor Riley has sort of written about this at the forum at forum.dognation.com. You love the idea of former Georgia running backs reaching out to Zamir White. You sort of wish the list of former injured Georgia running backs wasn't quite as long as it is. Todd Gurley and Nick Chubb and all these guys who sort of dealt with the same kind of stuff. You sort of wish that list wasn't quite so long, but nonetheless, a lot of Georgia running backs have been sort of in the same spot where Zamir White finds himself right now, and it is really cool to think that they're all kind of in their own way sort of reaching out to Zamir. You know, phrases like running back university and things like that I think probably get thrown around a little too casually sometimes. I don't know how much that even really means on the recruiting landscape, but in this particular case, I do think it's a luxury that Georgia has. A lot of other programs can't. You know, when you mention, you know, Nick Chubb, who recently scored a touchdown in a preseason game, Todd Gurley, who's, you know, on the cover of, you know, like posters and video games and, you know, things of that regard. I mean, that's a big-time name for the L.A. Rams right now. When you've got that kind of NFL-level pedigree with your former running backs, when they can sort of pick up a phone and call or text a guy like Zamir White, I do think that's a really good boost for UGA recruiting. And I really do appreciate what Kirby Smart says at the end there about Zamir White, that in the sort of aftermath of this injury, you know, Kirby's steadfast in saying, hey, White's been through this before. He's going to be back. He knows what's required here, and there's no doubt that if anyone's committed to that level of hard work, I think it's probably Zamir White here in this case. But let me also, on the subject of Zamir White, sort of transition to something else. Kirby Smart, in talking to reporters on Wednesday, also said something about, this is kind of circling back to the issue of Zamir White having been on special teams, and I think it's really cool that Kirby Smart delivers the level of insight that he delivers in the clip that I'm about to play for. And what's really funny is, if you listen to Monday's show, a lot of the stuff that I said Monday are echoed by Kirby Smart on Wednesday. Listen, there are plenty of things that I say that Kirby Smart, if he were to hear or to listen to, would probably roll his eyes about, slap me in the back of the head for saying or thinking. So I'm not going to tell you that my viewpoint's always exactly the same as Kirby Smart's. I think he'd probably be the first to tell you it isn't always the case. But on Monday, I sort of gave my sort of statistical reason for why I thought guys like Zamir White ought to be playing on special teams. And on Wednesday, Kirby Smart really echoed a lot of the same stuff we said here on Monday's episode of Dog Nation Daily. And if you want to know why Sony Michel was on punt coverage team last year, why Zamir White was going to be there this year, and why starters like Lorenzo Carter are blocking field goals in the Rose Bowl, Kirby Smart says it all comes down to the numbers, and apparently this kind of stuff he tracks very closely. If you're a Georgia fan, this mindset from Kirby Smart, the fact that he's so candid in sharing it, it's kind of a nice way to sort of understand his way of thinking. Here's a little more from Kirby Smart.
I think when you study the SEC, and we do a thing every year where we do a composite special teams ranking, and the composite special teams ranking is punt, punt return, kickoff return, PAT, field goal block, and you rank everybody in the SEC where they finished, and then you put it together what their average is. And I think of the years I was at Bama, maybe 9 years, I think we were first or second in 8 of those years, and we always play the best players on that. And then first year I was here, we were dead last in the composite. And that wasn't all because of the coverage units or the players. We didn't kick the ball real good. But then last year, we were actually first the way the rankings came out. And our kids bought into it. They understand that last year our punt team was Sony, Lorenzo, and Roquan. I think that's like incredible to have that three lineup on your punt team because we had so much speed. So we're trying to match that in everything we do. I mean, punt return's a weapon for us because we got a great return. So I think we got 6 starters on our punt return front line holding up. And those kids love it. They buy into it. It's fun to play it here at Georgia. We make it fun.
We make it fun here at Georgia. They want to play on the punt coverage team, even though, you know, for some programs that may seem like sort of an extra chore at Georgia. Kirby Smart says they make it fun. But the most important part of that clip is the overall philosophy that Kirby Smart sort of espouses there. We talked yesterday about Bud Elliott, the reporter from SB Nation, his so-called blue chip ratio, the percentage of former 4- and 5-star recruits you have on a roster at Georgia. That's really climbed over the last couple of years. Now 69% of Georgia's players are former 4- and 5-star players coming out of high school. That really matters, as Kirby Smart explains. And if you want to sort of sum up the Kirby doctrine, for those of you that follow politics, you hear that phrase from time to time. The Kirby doctrine when it comes to college football is simply this: good play is provided by good players. If you want better performance on the field, you just got to get better players. There is no magic trick. There is no secret formula. There is no special, strategy that's going to bring this about. Good play is provided by good players. You want better special teams. Georgia was terrible in that regard in 2016. One of the best in the country in 2017. That improved play is provided by improved players, and that's guys like Sony Michel and would have been Zamir White here in that regard here in 2018. So I think it's really cool that Kirby Smart kind of goes in that level of detail, and for what it's worth, if it's possible to agree with him 1,000,000%, I absolutely do, because I think the proof was in the pudding for Georgia in 2017. But now, as we are sort of 8 days away from the first Georgia game here, it is sort of time to turn that page away from Zamir White and, you know, what we thought we might get from Zamir White and what we will get from the Georgia running backs who are left. And, boy, I tell you what, this is a pretty impressive crop of backs right now. And what's really impressive is the level of confidence that they have in themselves right now. And other Georgia players seem to have them, too. You know, whether it be Monty Rice, sort of talking about James Cook the other day. You know, Elijah Holyfield, who spent some time with reporters this week talking about his opportunity. And DeAndre Swift as well. And you know, you see Swift show up on all these Heisman Trophy lists. You see him show up on, you know, the All-SEC list. We'll have more on that coming up later on in a moment. You see him really sort of growing in terms of a nationally known name here in 2018. And in a lot of ways, he broke out in that SEC championship game when he put the game on ice against Auburn back last December. And as he explained to reporters this week, that's a play that he thinks about a lot and is looking forward to showing things like that more in the future. Here is DeAndre Swift, whose role in this Georgia team becomes even more important now that Zamir White's injured. Here's DeAndre.
I see it on social media all the time. It's just one of the highlights of my career so far here at Georgia.
How confident are you think you can make several more of those?
I feel like when I get in space, the highlights will come. It'll come.
feel like when I get into space, the highlights will come. Well, listen, there are a lot of Georgia fans who've been waiting a long time, months and months and months, to see more highlights from Georgia players here this upcoming season. The great news is that the time for waiting is almost over. We'll see DeAndre Swift and the rest of this Georgia team next Saturday on the field against Austin Peay and on the road in the SEC against South Carolina the week after that. And DeAndre Swift says the highlights are going to come in those games for him and a lot of his other Georgia opponents. And I think I speak for the rest of Dog Nation when I say we cannot wait to see it. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. So good to have you with us, no matter how you get to us, live on video every morning at 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook page, Dog Nation YouTube page, the Dog Nation Twitter feed, on the radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player there for the Android devices, SoundCloud. Many of you just click right through SoundCloud and listen to the show every day. We appreciate that. Or at the worldfamousdognation.com. We just really appreciate you finding Dog Nation Daily here today. And, of course, we appreciate Marco's Pizza for making it all possible for you. And, listen, you know, when we talk about football, we talk about fumbling sometimes. Well, Marco's Pizza invites you not to fumble your way around the kitchen here this weekend. How about give yourself a break and take advantage of the everyday low price that Marco's Pizza has on authentic Italian-quality pizza, two medium, two topping pizzas, for just $6.99 each. It's every store, every day, the Italian way. You can go to Marcos.com, say hello primo with a great offer from our friends at Marco's Pizza, and it is really great to have them on the program with us here today. We'll have Jeff Centel here coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, can we just say thank you real quick for what was an incredible night last night for our Dog Nation season kickoff at Kroger. We were at the Kroger Marketplace at 5550 Bethelview Road. It's the brand new location there, and if you're watching on video, you can see some of the action on your screen there. This was just one of the most, I think, special Dog Nation events we've done. First of all, the Kroger Marketplace is a beautiful facility. It was an incredible time. It was really kind of cool to have the entire Dog Nation team all there together. Mike Griffith, Chip Towers, Jeff Centel, kind of everybody on hand for that, celebrating with a whole bunch of Georgia fans who are, I think, really, really excited about the year to come. It was just a really awesome night last night. We're going to do a lot of fun events like that in the upcoming season, but last night really was our Dog Nation season kickoff in that regard, and so it was really, really fun and special to be a part of that. And for all of you that came out last night, thank you so much for doing so. We'll look forward to seeing you a lot more in events here this year. But what a great way to start 2018 with our Dog Nation season kickoff last night at the brand new Kroger Marketplace in Cumming. So for every one of you that came out, or for those of you that couldn't be with us in Cumming but watch us on video, we just really appreciate that. We're looking forward to a great season here. By the way, speaking of Kroger, I've got a major announcement courtesy of Kroger here coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, though, you know, I mentioned for Georgia and for the rest of college football, the season really kicks off next week on Saturday. But there actually is some college football here this weekend. I guess the sort of unofficial name for this is Week Zero. It's not the real start of the season, but it's kind of the unofficial start to the season. The matchup, I guess, highlighted for tomorrow by Colorado State and Hawaii. And, you know, the great news here on this Colorado State-Hawaii game, and I wanted to make sure I took a moment to mention this, is the fact that a former Georgia quarterback, a great former Georgia quarterback, and I think a very good offensive coordinator as well, Mike Bobo, who's the head coach at Colorado State, he's been battling illness and away from his team here as of late, been going through kind of a tough time, but he's returned to practice. It sounds like he's ready to coach on Saturday against Hawaii. To me, this is all really good news. The other day, Kirby Smart had some nice well wishes for his good friend Mike Bobo. Let me let you hear Kirby as we now know that Bobo will coach this weekend. Take a listen.
I've talked to Mike probably more than Laney, just out of our friendship, but my thoughts and prayers go out to George and Barbara, their parents and their family. And, you know, he's got five kids that I know he worships and cares about so much, and they're a tight-knit family. And if I know Mike Bobo, I know that whatever he's dealing with, it ain't too strong for him, because he was built rock solid. So I know he'll fight his way through it.
So, listen, I think that's really good news. And I think the Bobo situation, you know, he had the numbness in his feet, you know, had to step away from practice, was in the hospital. I think that hits close to home for a lot of us, just simply because we all know what it feels like to kind of be too busy to slow down and pay attention to our health. And, you know, you hope that for Bobo, he's out of the woods and whatever he's dealing with is sort of over and behind him. But, you know, kind of a scary situation here, but it sounds like at least for right now it's working out well. And we, just like Kirby Smart, send our well wishes to the entire Bobo family. It's nice to see him patrolling the sidelines where he belongs here this weekend as his Colorado State team takes on Hawaii. All right, before I bring on Jeff Centel, I mentioned that I wanted to make a major announcement courtesy of Kroger, and we'll do that here as we do our Kroger checklist, looking ahead to what's coming up around Dog Nation. And here's the great news. You know, many of you have been asking, BA, are y'all going to do a Dog Nation invasion to Baton Rouge this year? And we said, absolutely. We were hoping to make that announcement very soon. And now I can officially sort of spill the beans on all this, that there will be a Dog Nation invasion to Baton Rouge. And the best part of all of this is that Kroger is going to give away a trip for you or the winner and a guest to join Dog Nation on the Dog Nation invasion to Baton Rouge. This is going to be an awesome, awesome event. We're going to be talking a lot about this on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger each Wednesday at 3 p.m. with myself and Jeff Sintel, talking about UGA recruiting. But the thing to know right now is the Dog Nation invasion is returning for 2018. We're invading New Orleans and Baton Rouge. Someone courtesy of Kroger is going to win a trip for them and a guest to be a part of it with us. So stick close to the worldfamousdognation.com here on Dog Nation Daily and, of course, Before the Hedges as we tell you more about that. It's our Kroger checklist announcement here for today. And by the way, speaking of Kroger, I hope you'll come taste local at the Kroger on Glenwood Avenue. It's this Saturday. It's August 25th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's a live demo, a sampling event featuring some of Georgia's top local partners because Kroger loves local and Kroger also loves Dog Nation. And that's why they're teaming up with the Dog Nation invasion of Baton Rouge once again here in 2018. Can't wait to tell you more about that. For now, I've got plenty of recruiting stuff I've got to tell you about, and there's only one person I trust for that information. It's our buddy Jeff Sintel. Let's say hello to him right now, right here on Dog Nation Daily.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Let me say hello to Jeff Sintel, my good friend. What a great time we had last night, Jeff, at the Kroger Marketplace for our Dog Nation season kickoff right there and coming. I know you had as much fun as I did, and you know, I want to celebrate that with you for a moment, but let me also, before we sort of dive into the recruiting stuff, let me get your thoughts on the big announcement courtesy of Kroger, the return of Dog Nation invasion to Baton Rouge. Kroger going to give away a trip for a lucky Dog Nation supporter and a guest to be there with us as we sort of invade New Orleans and Baton Rouge for the big one this October. That's going to be an awesome, awesome time, Jeff, and I can't wait to give away a trip here courtesy of Kroger for that. I know you feel the same way.
Yeah, Brandon, good morning, everybody. Not too much longer now. I think I was kidding with Brandon after our broadcast last night, and I said, guys, I said, wouldn't it be great if we could go Oprah Dog Nation Daily and everybody that was in that room? I mean, Brandon, there's probably, somebody told me a head count of about 200 people in that Kroger, at that Crowbar. We were all talking Bulldogs. The cover four was there, but that's another great prize from Kroger, the ability to get on the bus, so to speak, and get on to Baton Rouge. And I remember, Brandon, I don't know how fondly you remember it, but I hope whoever wins that's a really fun person to go to a game with, because last year on that Dog Nation invasion bus to Notre Dame, perhaps one of my fondest moments of the season, aside from anything on the field, was that gentleman from Savannah who broke out a very good Lawrence Smith impersonation and then rolled that into a back tuck of a spot-on Bellamy Strickland Ford Larry Munson impersonation. Those were good times, man.
They were good times indeed, and it sounds like you had as much fun as I did last night at the Kroger Marketplace and coming. Wasn't it cool to see so much of a Dog Nation come out and sort of feel the passion of Georgia fans who are truly excited about the upcoming season? It was really fun to sort of be in that atmosphere and environment last night, wasn't it?
It was, man. It was good seeing old friends, especially those from down South Florida. It was good seeing, making new friends, and hey, I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but we had the entire cover four. That's Brandon, Mike, Chip, and Jeff. They were in the house talking about Bulldog football last night.
Yeah, no, that was a really special time. And I want to say right now thank you to the Kroger Marketplace there in coming. They could not have been a more gracious host to us last night, really rolling out the red carpet for, as Jeff likes to call it, the cover four, and all of Dog Nation who was there. It was just a really cool thing. And they were a very, very gracious host for us all last night. We certainly appreciate that. And, of course, Jeff, a lot of recruiting talk last night at the Kroger Marketplace in coming. And a lot of that will spill over into our broadcast here today, including the big announcement tomorrow from Jamil Burrows, the top flight 2020 defensive lineman. He wants to honor his mother on his birthday, or her birthday, as you've explained to us many times before. And I guess let's preview this for a little bit. We know what Burrows brings to the table as a player. What can you sort of let us know here kind of on the eve of his big announcement tomorrow?
top five defensive tackle. I know my man Brandon pounds the fist every recruiting cycle for those top flight defensive tackles. This guy would be another homegrown in-state player. Nation's number four tackle, but also the number 67 overall prospect. Goes about 6'3", about 305. It's kind of what Georgia would love to have as their ideal redistributed weight type of nose tackle, defensive tackle guy. Now, he worked at defensive end for McEachern against Cochran County. But another thing, Brandon, and this is one of those little maybe Wayne's World dream sequences I know that go through your head. Jameel Burrows is very close to Andy Boykin. Andy Boykin is at a troop. He is currently committed to Auburn. But his number two kind of, and coming on fast with a maybe a Mecole Hardman kick down the sideline is Georgia. And those two gentlemen want to play together. They take a lot of their visits together. And I would think that if Jameel chooses the in-state school tomorrow, that's going to carry a lot of weight with Andy Boykin as well. And Boykin is the nation's number nine defensive end in the class of 2020. And, I mean, Brandon, what's better for you than one top 10 defensive lineman than the ability to flip another top 10 defensive lineman away from a conference rival?
Conference rival in this case, it's not just any conference rival. In this case, it's Auburn. And, Jeff, I don't mind telling you, I love watching Georgia flip players from Auburn. And if that were to happen with Andy Boykin, that to me would be great news. And, you know, we have talked a lot about this idea of stockpiling these defensive linemen. I'm very clear about this. I think that's the way that you build a top-flight roster. It's by just loading up. And, you know, if you go back and look at Kirby Smart for the class of 2017, you know, he did that a lot with offensive linemen. And it was really in the aftermath of that 2017 signing class, Jeff, that I really gained a lot of confidence in Kirby Smart as a recruiter, because every coach in the history of the universe has sort of on signing day said, we signed everybody we wanted to sign. This is a perfect class. This is exactly what we set out to do. But, Jeff, you'll remember this. If you go back to February of 2017, Kirby Smart on that day said, okay, we loaded up on offensive linemen this year. We got to do that for defensive linemen in the future. He sort of let it be known that he didn't sign as many defensive linemen as he wanted to. Said, you know, the year before that had sort of said the same thing about offensive linemen. They kind of got the, you know, the Julian Rochesters, the Mikael Carters, the Tyler Clarks of the world for the 2016 class, needed more offensive linemen. You know, he has been very clear about what his standard is in terms of sort of loading up on talent, and that's why these 2020 guys we're talking about right now, both in terms of Burrows will make his announcement tomorrow, and Boykin, who may one day flip, Miles Murphy, who we'll talk more about in a moment, that's why these guys are important, because it's the collection, the group, where you really sort of build the depth for a program. And I think that Kirby Smart's been very clear about that over his years here at Georgia.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing Kirby's good for, Brandon. I remember his first recruiting class the year when they did not end up with E.J. Price, and he went on to USC on his way to Kentucky. He basically called out his class, and he said, I don't think we got enough tackles in the program. And, boy, was he ever right. And then the next year he focuses on the defensive line. And, you know, we're going to switch a little bit into game mode a lot sometimes as I talk to you, Brandon. And we're going to talk a lot about how recruiting pipelines its way into the game day environment. Everybody's heard Kirby this week talk about he wants to know who's going to get on the bus to Columbia. He wants to know who's going to be a part of that 70. And he even dropped a nice little coin about some of his roster management in a recent press conference. He says he wants to take 10 offensive linemen, but he also wants to take somewhere between 8 and 10 defensive linemen. So you start doing this, dog fans. Count along with me right now if you will, but defensive line, when you start going 8 to 10 deep, and that is Alabama-type depth, that's where Georgia has to trend toward. That's who they will compete with for those big trophies and those big games. And you start going off David Marshall, Julian Rochester, Tyler Clark, Jay Hayes, Daquan Hawkins-Muckle, Mikael Carter, Devontae Wyatt, Malik Herring. You start putting all those names together, and that's maybe the core of the Georgia defensive line, of course, with Jonathan Ledbetter. So you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those are nine names right there. But there's a difference between that third and fourth name and that eighth and ninth and tenth name. And what Georgia needs to do eventually, and you start thinking about it, whether it's Trevon Walker, Tommen Mitchell, Zion Logue, Bill Norton, Brenton Cox, you keep stacking up those names. Maybe it's a Jameel Burrows. Maybe it's an Andy Boykin. And all of a sudden, look what we just did there, Brandon. That 7, 8, 9 name is a top 10 defensive tackle. or the fourth, fifth name is a top five defensive lineman. That's where Georgia needs to get to for those big conference games.
Yeah, that's really smart, Jeff. Really well said. Let me keep it on the subject of defensive linemen for a moment, because obviously Jameel Burrows is on the verge of making his decision, but you also had a chance to talk to a guy that sort of comes from the same part of the state right there in Powder Springs, Georgia, Miles Murphy, another 2020 defensive lineman. This is a great interview. We sort of showcased this on Before the Hedges a little earlier this week. I know you also wrote about Murphy at DogNation.com for your Centel Intel this week as well. Here's what I think I know about Murphy from the interview that we've been able to kind of publish with him. He is a great-looking prospect, but it does sound like we're going to be waiting a while to sort of find out Murphy's future college home. Now, he's got time. It's just now the start of his junior season there at Hillgrove, but looks like we're going to be waiting on Murphy here for a while, although as a prospect, it also looks like Murphy may be a player who's worth the wait.
Yeah, I think that he wants to follow the model that his buddy Jalen St. McCullough followed for Hillgrove, and he committed on the Friday before the first game of the year. And Murphy says that sounds like a pretty good, you know, roadmap, flight plan, what have you. But there's a big difference here. Jalen McCullough is a top 150 type player. He was eventually choosing between schools like Tennessee, South Carolina, Auburn. You know, I think the biggest boys that could have recruited him, the Alabamas of the world, the Ohio States of the world, the Georgias of the world, I don't know if they were there knocking on the door as hard as those other schools were. Actually, to me, it doesn't seem like they were at all. But with Miles Murphy, his decision might be a little bit more interesting and a little bit more dramatic and complicated if he wants it to be that way, because he's going to have his choice, Brandon. 6'5", 255. He timed a 4.6 40 at the University of Georgia in front of the staff. That is a very interesting combination of defensive line. I mean, the young man has impeccable feet. I called him Barishnikovs before, Brandon, as we talk about him,
sure,
because that guy's so light on his feet. He picks them up and puts them down. That 4.6 in the 40 is evident of that. His mother graduated from the University of Georgia. She loves Georgia. She says it's still going to be her son's decision. His father went to UT Chattanooga, so that makes everything really wide open there. Miles Murphy, Brandon, I know you need to summon up those same sort of vibes that you had for Trayvon Walker, because that is also a similar type five-star defensive lineman that's wanted by Georgia.
That's quite an endorsement from Jeff Centel there. Jeff, the other day on our show, we talked about Bud Elliott, the recruiting reporter for SB Nation, does a piece every year that I really love. He calls it his blue chip ratio. He looks at the percentage of former four and five star players in a current roster, and what he sort of found is if you don't have more than 50% of your roster as former four and five star players, you're not winning a national championship, at least in the age in which we can really rate these prospects fairly accurately. That's pretty much held fast every single year. But in Georgia's case in particular, Elliott kind of points out sort of some fascinating data here, that if you want to go back to the end of the Mark Richt era, Georgia was like at that 52-53% number in terms of the former four- and five-star recruits, or as Bud Elliott calls them, blue-chip players. Under Kirby Smart now, though, Georgia's roster is 69% former four- and five-star players. So more than two out of every three players in this Georgia roster was either a four- or a five-star prospect coming out of high school. My question for you is really simple. Help people understand what the difference is when you sort of put, you know, almost like a dozen extra, you know, elite-level recruits on a roster. What does that mean for the 70 guys you take with you to South Carolina, for the 11 guys that are playing on a special teams? You know, what does it do for your roster depth when you upgrade the way that Kirby Smart has, even from the end of the Richt era, which from a recruiting standpoint was certainly not bad. It was you know, championship level, but even higher now under Kirby Smart. Sort of articulate the difference for us, if you don't mind.
Well, there's a lot of mesh points there with that theory, Brandon. I think the simplest way is you can look at depth. You can look at special teams, more elite prospects. I mean, get ready, folks. You guys can play count the five stars on the special teams units in a kicking game this year. It's going to be a lot of times when you see the Bulldogs line up and run downfield to cover a kick, and you're going to see multiple three, four, five stars on the field at one time for the Bulldogs. That's going to be kind of unheard of, especially when they're going to play a lot of teams that don't even have four or five stars in their entire program. But I think the biggest factor for me is, I'm going to use really simple language here, Brandon, how does an athlete get stronger? How does an athlete improve themselves? They train. They train with a higher degree of difficulty. They put more weight on the bar. They lift it. They rep with it. They become comfortable with it, and they get stronger. When Georgia has that many blue-chip players practicing against one another every day, where on the Tuesday film, a Malik Herring made a Georgia guard look very bad or a Georgia tackle look very bad, and then they come back the next day, and that tackle's got his big boy pants on, and he smothers the guy that had his way with him the day before. The constant culture of improvement where a guy who is really good, you know, Georgia likes this phrase a lot. They want to go good on good. They want to go great on great. That's how they feel they get a lot better. That's why their practices are always organized with ones-on-ones and twos-on-ones and ones-on-twos. The more great players you have there, I mean, it's simple. Georgia's got a young man by the name of Jamari Salyer on offense. They've got another kid by the name of Channing Kendall on defense. And those guys would be the marquee recruit at any other school in the SEC, including Alabama this year. And those guys right now are trying to get to the second team at Georgia and work their way up. I mean, it is amazing, Brandon. Like a story a couple weeks ago, maybe it was 5-6 days ago, Luke Ford had the injury, the motorcycle incident. He was on the shelf. Now he's back practicing, thankfully. Luke Ford, in a lot of Georgia years over the last decade, would have been the second or third biggest recruit at Georgia, and that would have been a bigger story than the fourth team tight end. Now, I think Luke Ford is like the 9th or 10th highest-rated guy in Georgia's vaunted freshman 2018 class, and it just shows where all the depth is and all the players are. Georgia's got a pair of 6'7" tight ends that are looking at trying to make themselves the third-team tight end when they were – one of those guys was an All-American. The other guy has the best hands, his coach told me, that he's seen since Hines Ward. I mean, that's just where the Georgia program is. Everywhere is depth, and that depth makes better competition, which leads to better players.
Yeah, that's really well said, Jeff. Coming up to a close out our discussion, a big-time Georgia commit's playing a big-time high school game this weekend. I kind of want to preview that with you for a minute here, if you don't mind. Before that, though, you know, one of the questions we get asked a lot, it came up last night at our Dog Nation season kickoff there at the Kroger Marketplace in Cumming, is how the Urban Meyer situation impacts UGA recruiting. And I did notice, I guess 24/7 Sports had a report from some of the Ohio State commits. The mom of Harry Miller sort of came out in support of Meyer, it sounds like. So the big Buford offensive lineman, any thought about him maybe leaving the Ohio State 2019 class because of the Urban Meyer situation? It sounds like, according to his mom, quoted by 24/7 Sports, that's maybe not likely to happen now, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's just an unfortunate situation at all parties. I think Harry Miller and that family represent the very best things I've ever seen when it comes to high school football players. And the contrast right now with what's swirled around the Ohio State program, I mean, everybody can say things were not, there are no charges, there were no formal convictions or anything like that in the court system. There's no legal documents. But those little things like deleting text messages and the like, and some of the travel escapades by that staff with another assistant coach and a high school football coach, that's just not a good look for Ohio State football. And here's my theory. It is my so simple opinion here that I think Ohio State, when it's matched with all the other heavyweights of college football, the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the Georgias, they're now in that group. When a recruit is deadlocked and they cannot figure out where they want to go and what they want to do, and somehow Dabo's slide hasn't swayed them, or Georgia's new locker room hasn't swayed them, or Alabama's new $600 million plaza hasn't swayed them, they will look at all those schools for a reason to separate some folks. And I think there are some families out there that will look at this stuff that just went on at Ohio State, and they'll think, maybe that's something that I don't need to be associated with, no matter what happened and what didn't happen.
Yeah, I think that's probably very true, Jeff. Let me finish up with this, if you don't mind. So, obviously, Jaden Hazelwood is the former he's the current five-star wide receiver UGA commit for the 2019 class. And, boy, he's got a big game on Saturday. It looks like Cedar Grove's going to play Hewitt Trussville, a loaded high school team from Alabama, Pierce Quick, Paul Tyson, a whole bunch of big-time college recruits on that Hewitt Trustville team. I imagine this game's kind of on your radar for this weekend. Anything else from the upcoming weekend of high school football that you're paying close attention to?
Oh, well, there's a lot of games. I think the big one there, though, is the Jaden Hazelwood Showcase Experience round two, the Birmingham, Alabama tour stop. And it's funny, he's facing a team that is uniquely compromised of a former player for Gus Malzahn, who is a, you know, big, huge friend of Gus Malzahn and his family. He's coaching a team that I think right now has four players that are committed to Alabama, of all schools. And then there's Jaden Hazelwood and those Cedar Grove Saints going to go in there, a 3A school, and take on a 7A school in Alabama. Now, it doesn't sound as daunting as most might think. The 7A schools in Alabama are simply schools that have more than, I believe, 1,400, 1,500 in enrollment. And the bulk of Georgia, 3A, 4A, 5A, not to mention 6A, 7A, has that. So I think that's a very big game for Georgia fans to keep an eye on. I'm sure everybody, maybe they noticed last night, Independence Community College opened their season with a rousing victory against Dodge, one of those rivals in the Jayhawk Conference. And it was a dominating performance by the defensive line at Independence. They held Dodge, I believe, to just 10 points. And there was a lot of rousing praise coming for Georgia defensive line, outside linebacker Jermaine Johnson coming out of that game. Of course, everybody's going to see a lot of that stuff on Last Chance U next fall when Jermaine's at Georgia. But, I mean, it's another big weekend for high school football. I think there's more coming up next weekend, even when the college games get started. There's a big event at Milton to think about. And, you know, Trouble Davis, as we reported before, he's going to be there. Going to force some Georgia fans to maybe think about, are they going to be at that Austin Peay game? Are they going to leave that game early when Georgia might be up big at halftime? Because there's a Georgia commitment who is very good from the Central Florida area near Orlando that will be playing in Alpharetta at Milton High School against defending state champion North Gwinnett next Saturday night.
Boy, Jeff, that is quite a dilemma for a lot of Georgia fans to sort of consider there, because I know based on what we've seen from Ryan Trouble Davis on film, he must be spectacular to see in person because he really brings the heat, seemingly a really exciting member of this 2019 class for Georgia. Jeff, we appreciate your information here on Dog Nation Daily here today. We'll look forward to speaking to you soon. Hope you have a great weekend. And when we speak again, it will be game week, by the way, as Georgia heads towards that September 1st opener. I know you're as excited about it as we are. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, hey, Brandon, one more thing for all the listeners out there. They also want to keep their eye on the IMG Academy game. I can't forget that one. Everybody remembers nation's number two overall recruit, Nolan Smith. Apparently there's a social media viral video circulating about where their opponent was a pretty good team in Pennsylvania. They actually burned a flag with the letters IMG on it in one of their hype videos. And I think Mr. Smith might have noticed that video. So it will be very interesting to see if the five-star outside linebacker comes away with about three or four sacks this weekend against the Notre Dame commit.
Yeah, look forward to seeing that, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, you know, it's really fun to have these high school games returning, whether it be the highlights of Nolan Smith against the team from Pennsylvania tonight, Jaden Hazelwood on Saturday against Hewitt Trustville, a major, major game. You know, that's one of my favorite things about Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. We're going to try to compile a lot of these highlights from a lot of these games and show as many of them as we can to you there on Before the Hedges each Wednesday. It's one of the reasons why you want to be with us at 3 p.m. Eastern time every Wednesday for Before the Hedges as we bring you the best in UGA recruiting coverage there. And by the way, speaking of Kroger, they remind you that amid all the excitement of football season, which is here and upon us, there's one sure way that you can guarantee a win. It's with delicious food. Your local Kroger has got all you need for your perfect game day nibbling. We appreciate Kroger being here, a part of Dog Nation Daily. It was really thrilling to announce a moment ago the Dog Nation Invasion return as we invade Baton Rouge here coming up the month of October in New Orleans and then in Baton Rouge and then coming back to Georgia, bringing a big win. Really, really excited about that. It's going to be a great time, our Dog Nation Invasion to Baton Rouge coming up in the month of October. And Kroger going to give you a chance to be a winner there. You and a lucky guest could be coming with us to New Orleans and Baton Rouge for that big win. Stick to DogNation.com, Before the Hedges, and right here on Dog Nation Daily for more on that. Let me do our SEC through here. There are 12 Georgia players on the recently released All-SEC preseason list, courtesy of the coaches here. Now, as Mike Griffith pointed out with the media vote not too long ago, no Georgia offensive guys make the first team here, but you have a collection of guys in the second and third team. You do have two Georgia players on first-team defense, and they're both in the secondary. DeAndre Baker, J.R. Reed, both first-team All-SEC defense for the preseason list, according to the coaches, which is important to think about here because you look at the secondary for Georgia as sort of like a half-and-half deal. Half of this is pretty experienced and very trustworthy. DeAndre Baker could be a first-round pick. J.R. Reed played like an All-SEC guy a year ago. That's why they make this preseason list. Richard LeCount, sort of the guy in the middle. He's sort of the swing player. He's got some experience. He played some last year. Bigger role this year. Maybe you feel good about him. But Georgia's going to need to lean on that experience from Reed and Baker to work in, whether it be a Tyson Campbell or Tyreek McGee when he returns from injury. You know, solidifying those other two spots, the star position, which could also include a linebacker sliding back like Walter Grant, certainly that other cornerback position. Georgia leaning on what it thinks it knows it has in secondary, Reed and Baker, the two All-SEC guys, as it tries to really solidify that secondary here for 2018. As far as the other Georgia names on the list, no surprise, Rodrigo Blankenship is the first-team kicker. A whole bunch of offensive guys make second-team offense. Godwin, Nada, Andrew Thomas, probably to be expected. Lamont Gilliard, good to see him getting honored here as the center. I do think he's probably that good. A lot of Georgia names here. Ledbetter, second-team defense. You got Jake Fromm is the third-team quarterback here, so he gets kind of honored. So a lot of Georgia guys, 12 in all, make this preseason list. A lot of Alabama guys there as well. And, you know, as far as, like, are you first team, are you second team? To me, that doesn't matter all that much. What you have to have are guys in that All-SEC consideration, that conversation. If you don't have those, you're not going to compete truly at the highest level for the playoff for the SEC championship. But with Georgia having 12 names show up on the list, it is more than well enough represented to be a legit contender for really any postseason discussion you want to have, SEC championship, everything else included there. Let me talk about one of Georgia's opponents here for a moment. LSU gets some good news. Christian Fulton, one of the defensive backs, has been reinstated. Now, this is kind of a complicated story that I'm only sort of partially aware of here, but I guess the best way to sort of explain this overall is that Fulton had been suspended for tampering with a drug test, and he was supposed to be suspended for 2 years for sort of a urine sample for a performance-enhancing drug-type test. But they were able to get the charge sort of reclassified. So now instead of it being a two-year deal, it was sort of classified down lower. So Fulton's going to be eligible to play for LSU. And what's interesting about that is, and I talked to some people last night about LSU at our Dog Nation season kickoff. Some people saying, because of LSU being kind of a mess, because of Ed Orgeron's status being uncertain, this will still end up being an easy win for Georgia. The one thing I've said here is, the one thing to keep in mind is the LSU defense will probably be pretty good. We don't know yet about the LSU offense, but the LSU defense, we think, is going to be probably pretty good this season. And an example of how that is true is the reinstatement of Fulton, because now you put him in there with Terrence Alexander, the transfer from Stanford, a guy that we already know can play. We've seen that. The rising sophomores like Grant Delpit, a very good-looking safety. I've heard good things about Jacoby Stevens, another guy who switched positions like 9,000 times, but he is back on the defensive secondary now. You'll remember him as a guy that was on a doorstep of committing to Georgia before he ends up back at LSU, which was his home state, even though he lived in Tennessee. So you've heard good things about Jacoby Stevens. That LSU secondary should be pretty good, something that Georgia has to deal with when those two teams get together come October. Speaking of LSU, Ed Orgeron not saying a whole lot yet about who his starting quarterback is going to be. Tigers do have a final scrimmage coming up this weekend. It is down to Miles Brennan and Joe Burrow. This is one of those moments where I feel like the entire ordeal is just orchestrated and staged. If Miles Brennan was going to be the starting quarterback for LSU, he would have been named that in the spring because that was his chance to shine. But the fact that he, Narcisse, Norm McMillan, and by the way, both those guys are now gone, the fact that none of those guys distinguished themselves during the spring is what opened the door for Joe Burrow Burrow to come in from Ohio State. If Burrow does not become the starting quarterback for Ohio State, it is an abject failure and a disaster for the Tigers. And any kind of talk about LSU being a dangerous opponent for anyone, all those statements will have been completely overstated because LSU can't beat anyone if it doesn't have a more competent offense than it sort of had in the past here. That's why Steve Ensminger was brought in as offensive coordinator. Ultimately, I think, you know, the bad stats from Burrow recently notwithstanding, I do think he becomes the LSU starting quarterback. And that's one of the reasons why I think if you're circling dangerous games for Georgia, that is one of those games that you circle. Georgia likely will be a favorite and probably win the game, but in terms of being really challenged, LSU's more capable of doing that than virtually anyone else on Georgia's schedule. One more quarterback point to bring up here before we wrap up our SEC through. Dan Mullen sort of echoing kind of a similar theme when it comes to the quarterback situation. He's also sort of waiting to see who he's going to announce, although he did sort of let it go that that he has an idea who his starting quarterback is going to be. My guess is it's the guy we saw the most last year, Felipe Franks. I just don't think Florida can win games with Kyle Trask. Look, Rudy was a movie. It's not real life. These sort of plucky underdogs who weren't even starters in their high school team and like barely a two-star recruit coming out of high school, those guys are just not going to win the SEC. If Florida starts Kyle Trask at quarterback, that's the best news a UGA fan who's a Gator hater could ever, ever hear. So we'll see how that plays out, and we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, you know, from time to time we like to sort of add in a few extra comments and sort of get some of your thoughts on things going on around Georgia football. We'll do a little bit of that with you right now. You can weigh in on something that Jeff Sintel had to say earlier in the program. You want to talk about the stuff we talked about off the top with, you know, Kirby Smart's philosophy on special teams and the outlook for UGA running backs on the heels of the Zamir White injury. We'll give you a chance to do all of that here for a couple of minutes here, including Alan Vrbancic watching us on Facebook Live, who says, "Well, Kirby, when will Kirby announce the starting quarterback?" And Alan, my best guess on this is, based on what Kirby Smart said this week, and if you check out Dog Nation Daily from earlier in the week, sort of played some audio from Kirby in this regard, I don't believe Kirby Smart's going to announce a starting quarterback. I think from Kirby's perspective, this is not necessarily an announcement that needs to be made. You know, he said that, you know, Jake Fromm has been working mostly with the first team. He's been getting most of the first team reps. It's also sort of in keeping with another philosophy of Kirby Smart, which is to not announce much of anything, period. You know, disciplines are handled internally. You know, starting positions are mostly announced by who's on the football field. You know, Kirby's not a big announcement guy in general. And in this case, you know, given the fact that Georgia does have an incumbent starter, I think he feels like he's got some cover in terms of not having to announce anything whatsoever when it comes to these guys here. So I don't think we see much of an announcement from this on Kirby Smart. I think that Jake Fromm is your quarterback to start. Now, I have said that I think that Justin Fields will play in the first half against Austin Peay. I've also sort of put myself out there that Fields takes a snap in the first half against South Carolina as well. I may be wrong about that, but that's sort of the kind of feeling I have here on that. But in terms of announcing a starting quarterback, I don't necessarily think that's going to happen here. Travis Nunley, back to the subject of quarterbacks, I mentioned that Jake Fromm was the preseason all-SEC first-team quarterback, according to the coaches. Travis says, who were the I should say that Fromm was the third team. He says, who were the first and second team? First-team quarterback was Drew Locke from Missouri, according to the coaches. The second team was Jarrett Stidham from Auburn. So Fromm comes in behind both those guys here on this list. And obviously, for some Georgia fans, are going to say, you know, that's a travesty that Fromm's better than Stidham. He's better than Drew Locke. And I certainly think he has a chance to prove that. However, and it's also, I guess, kind of interesting here that the coaches sort of value experience of the three guys over Tua Tagovailoa, which most of the media seems to be in love with right now. I think that Fromm is where he needs to be. He's in the conversation for best quarterback in the SEC, and I think he has a chance this season to really showcase that and prove that. I think Stidham is a good quarterback. I think that Drew Locke's probably dealing with a bit of a limited group of playmakers around him there at Missouri. So overall, I guess I'm probably pretty satisfied with how the coaches evaluate Jake Fromm on that and look forward to seeing him put all of that on display when the season begins next Saturday. All right, we'll get ready to wrap up here, and I will do so with our Gator Hater Countdown. Of course, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, we believe that a good Georgia fan is a Gator Hater first and foremost. In 64 days from right now, we're going to watch Georgia go back to Jacksonville for the game they like to call the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, and Georgia is going to knock off Florida again. We believe that. We love talking about it here our Gator Hater Countdown right here on a Dog Nation Daily. We do it every single day. And given the fun festivities of last night, one of the things I've been asked a lot here is, hey, you guys got some Marlowe's broadcasts coming up. We absolutely do. You're going to hear me talk to you about this a lot coming up starting next week. Our first Marlowe's broadcast is actually not this upcoming week, but the following week. We're going to be Wednesday, September 5th. We're going to be right there at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody, really getting excited about the upcoming season, looking ahead to the South Carolina game. So make plans to be with us not this week, but next week there in Dunwoody. And then we'll see you back here on Monday for Dog Nation Daily.